About a year ago, I picked up this book called The Ecosystem Economy, and I thought it was going to be interesting because over the last couple of years, we've been hearing a lot about ecosystems, this new and dynamic way of going to market with partners, with ISVs, with other vendors to collaborate and solve for the needs of the customers, leveraging each other's resources, drawing upon strengths to cover weaknesses. And this book, I mean, whenever something becomes hip again, you have to write a book about it. So I picked up this book, The Ecosystem Economy, by a couple of guys from McKinsey, and I read it so you won't have to. And in fact, there's an entire podcast review I did on this last year. It's not a very good book. It conflates a lot of issues. It gets a few things wrong. I mean, I'm not saying it's entirely wrong, but it doesn't clarify what it means to work and be in the ecosystem in the B2B context. I've been around long enough to tell you that the first time I heard the word ecosystem in the channel was about 20 years ago, and we described it the way we describe it now. There's two or more partners or two or more companies working together to solve for the customer. The first instance of ecosystems in a B2B context was mentioned in 1993 in the Harvard Business Review, where they described this very same thing. It was actually not even a new concept. It was just the word was being applied to it to describe this phenomenon of collaboration and this go-to-market together. But today, we're treating ecosystems like it is new, and we are applying different definitions and different ideas for what it really means. So that's why Channelnomics dove into this, because we felt it was important not to dispel the idea of ecosystems, not to dismiss it, but to bring clarity to it. And that's why our newest report, Advancing Understanding of Ecosystems in the Channel, aims to do that, define, describe, and enhance. And joining me on this edition of Changing Channels is my colleague, Bren Nettesheim. She is the Vice President of Professional Services and also the co-author of this report. And we're going to go over the next few minutes, we're going to go deep into ecosystems. And we hope that we're going to do exactly what we purport to do, advance the understanding. This is Changing Channels. I'm Larry Walsh. Let's get into it. No, I'm usually not this formal when I see you on camera, but Bren Nettesheim, it's great to see you.
Good to see you too, Larry. It's been about, 20 minutes since our last call.
So everyone, watching is that you have to understand Bren and I talk to each other about a half dozen times a day. This is a little bit more formal than our usual conversations. And I'm going to say we're going to clean up the language a little bit as well, Bren.
Yeah, but we're not going to take off the jokes.
No, of course not. Of course not. Yeah.
No. Be boring.
So, all right. So, Bren, for people who have heard me talk about this before, I have been one of the ecosystem deniers out in the business. It's not to say that I don't believe in ecosystems. I do believe that it is a great way of companies to work together. But I am also the one to say let's not treat this as new. But why are we treating this as new? Why does this feel like this is the time where ecosystems is reborn?
I'm going to say this first is that, I think our position at Channelnomics is always to not blindly accept, but to challenge, to question, to provide clarity, because that's what we do as analysts and consultants, right? If we blindly accept everything that's out there, we would be very misguided and probably giving some bad guidance. Point two, why are we treating it like it's new? Look at AI. Right? Woo, the hype. It's like my favorite song, Don't Believe the Hype. Because you really have to take things in a fine lens,
Oh,
right?
wait,
And
sorry.
make sure that you're
Sorry,
making
some AI just went by. I'm sorry, I interrupted.
you always catch me on those things. No, but the point really is we're diving into this. It feels new because, look, people like to look for new and shiny things because we're always looking for a way to improve things, right? How can we be more efficient? How can we, if I'm a vendor, how can I improve my partner's performance so I can drive my revenue, right? How can I be a better partner in my relationship? I think that's part of one of the appeals of ecosystems. I would hope.
Well, I
I don't
do, and I
know.
mean, look, no, I do think that there is. I mean, I dislike any notion of we discovered something that's already existed. You know, we, God, I'm going to do this. We didn't start the fire. It's a Billy Joel reference. We didn't discover fire. Fire was already there, but we learned how to harness it better. Is it just a matter that now that we have recognized that there is something that is hot out there that we can attach ourselves to, that
You
we are
really
now
pulled
saying,
that.
that was completely unintentional. But look, is that we've talked with companies about this, and I will still call them channel chiefs, at least for a while, that talk about working with partners, not just a partner, but multiple partners, partners that are in opportunities or in accounts. They may not even be collaborating together, but they do have influence over the customer. Or you do have partners that are doing co-managed services or leveraging each other's resources, either because of geographic disparities or skills disparities, to solve for the customer. Yeah, these things are happening, and I think it's a real phenomenon. But are we just at the point of where we're recognizing it better and then recognizing the potential? That I think is the maybe the driver here.
I think there's absolute truth in that. And I think the other reason the things that are driving this is like technologically, there are advances, right? There are programs, tools that allow to capture and integrate data. It's like being able to piece together the narrative and provide more transparency that may have been believed not to have been able to do before. Right. There's the marketing notions out there and technology solutions that say, hey, we can help aggregate your data. We can help give you an insights to create your narrative as to what's really going on when you weren't able to get that before. And I think by just having that those little bit of advancements, it creates the possibility. And with that possibility, people start to create strategies around it. To really make it something into fruition. I think that's what's happening.
I tend to agree, and I want to come back to that, because this is something that I believe has always been, and perhaps we're able to do it more efficiently and at greater scale than we've been had before through tools and automation. And I want to talk about that a little bit more in a minute. But there's the other definition of ecosystem, is that we and I've just written a blog on this, and there's people out there starting to talk about this, is that we have almost replaced channels with ecosystem, and say that they're synonymous, but ecosystems are better. And I had somebody at an event come up to me as I was actually said, yeah, it's not that I don't believe in ecosystems, I just don't believe them that they're new. And this guy came up to me. He goes, no, ecosystems, they're new. Channels are old. Well, okay, describe what that actually means. And I'm seeing a lot of people talk about ecosystems, or talk about their channel partners or the collection of their channel partners as the ecosystem, is that there is this constellation of resources and talent that they can pull on, but it's not collaborative. It's more of there's a pool that's available.
It's like they're owners of it. I mean, I'm honestly guilty of this. 10 years ago, my first foray into the channel, I was like, yeah, this is our ecosystem of partners. This is our ecosystem. I think there's a lot of validity into that, right? I think the difference now, though, is in the core definition, and that is an ecosystem has to be centered around your customer, right? That's the definition that you quoted out of Forbes. I think we forget that when we talk about developing ecosystem strategies. Try to center around your customer.
And just, not to make too fine of a point of this, but you misspelled Forbes. Harvard Business Review is what it was.
You know,
Yeah.
well-cited source, interchangeable.
words. But you know, I don't, like I said, I don't necessarily think that this is a bad thing. I mean, you know, it's like, you know, clean air and potable water. It's like, you know, how can you argue against it? It's a good thing to have greater levels of recognition of shared value, or as I like to describe this ecosystem phenomenon, is that you put 1 + 1 + 1 together to equal 10. And it, you know, an ecosystem should be have a value greater than the sum of its collective parts and the sum of its contributions. And I do believe that there's real value in thinking of the world that way.
That's always been the visual representation of the channel, right? We've all seen the graph, right? That's like, here's your triangle, and here's your vendor, and now here's your reach with partners, and your partners scale to more customers. It's always been that way.
Well, yes, although there are good arguments out there, or maybe not good arguments, is that one of the things when you hear people talk about ecosystems, they're also talking about partnerships in the same breath. It's like, okay, so the you know, we're going to win together, and so ecosystems are the collection of partnerships, and as a result of that, that there's greater synergies on the channel side than there is on the vendor side or the supply side. And then we've even seen some people, you know, advocate that, look, we don't want the command and control of channel programs. We want to be more of the ecosystem. I'm not quite sure that it works out that way. I'm not quite sure that we lose those structures. I think those structures are endemic to the go-to-market process. But it doesn't negate the value of the collaboration downstream.
I think the mitigating factor is how well a vendor can structure their ecosystem along the continuum of maturity. When we start talking about all these different partner types, ISVs, MSPs, resellers, strategic partners, you pull in your distis, your OEMs. You start to have lots of different roles and responsibilities that are supported by the tools and the systems and the processes that surround it all to make it work. How well you do it furthers you along the lines of maturity. And maybe you start at the beginning and you say, I have a really simple relationship. It's two-tier distribution, and I just work with resellers and MSPs. That's far more simple. Right, and less mature than when you start pulling in ISVs. Now you have to account for complexities, additional selected areas, additional expanded capacities and resources to support that growth, and so on and so forth as you go down the continuum. I don't know. What do you think about operating in the guise of not the guise? Some people operate in the guise of maturity.
I mean, there is something to this. So in our report, we actually do describe different levels or different levels of maturation and persistency. Because one of the things that we do find is that when you are talking about ecosystems in this collaborative context, that there's a lack of persistency in the way that that happens. Just because two or more partners come together to solve for a customer opportunity doesn't mean that they're going to repeat it a second or a third time. And so there is a scale, and we describe it in our report, of how you go from opportunistic and transient to strategic but episodic to more persistency to what we describe as a federated channel, where you actually have mature, lasting bonds and repeatable processes across multiple providers. There is something to that. I do think, though, is even within the model that we've constructed on this, it does remain a work in progress.
I think one of the gaps between that we hold in it and that our vendors might hold in it is you have to know your customer inside and out. Your ICP has to be so detailed because it surrounds, right? It's the center of the maturity. I use this partner set to work in this scenario. I use this partner set to solve for this customer issue, so on and so forth. Without that being extraordinarily well defined, I don't think you're going to be able to pursue further maturity.
Well, I do think though is that part of what's fueling this belief in ecosystems or this embracement of ecosystem and collaborative models is the availability of better tools. Is that there are a number of tools out there from companies like Crossbeam and Reveal and PartnerTap, Workspan, that allow the vendors to be able to reach and coordinate better, or enable the partners to collaborate together. Bryn, you've had some experience with these tools. So, tell us what we don't know about them or what we should know about them.
I think these tools are truly advantageous if you use them correctly. And that's the caveat for any tool, right? Garbage in, garbage out. So let's move on from that. When I say use them correctly, I often see them implemented as a, hey, who can I sell to that you know? As opposed to properly going through a real co-sell motion that results in a valuable and strategic engagement instead of, hey, I'll give you my numbers if you show me yours. And I think that that's where people are falling short at this point in time. But that's not to say that they don't have immense value. And I just think that there needs to be further operational elements surrounding them, processes, and a strategic intent. And what is that strategic intent?
Yeah, I think that it came up in a conversation I was in recently whether or not tools that enable co-selling, so the tools that we're talking about here, and mind you, Crossbeam, Reveal, PartnerTap, Workspan, all fine companies and all have, these are really good tools. But as Bryn's describing it, you really do have to have intent behind it. You just can't say, okay, look, let's merge and look for overlaps, or merge and look for white space. You have to actually understand what you're going to market with or what you're trying to solve for in order for it to have a positive outcome. And there can become the foundation of a productive ecosystem or a productive selling ecosystem.
It's one of our favorite slides. Maybe we'll flash it later, but it's the partner journey and the customer journey, and we visualize it as a zipper. How are they intertwined? Where are the touch points? Where do you need to enable? The same thing needs to be applied when we're talking about how you engage in your ecosystem and your sales processes within it.
In our report, we list a number of things that either people are getting wrong or have misconceptions about. Bryn, what's the big thing in your mind that people get wrong or they're not looking at properly when it comes to ecosystems?
I think my favorite one is this notion that it's an ecosystem, so it's just going to sell. But gang, there are four core sales models: sell to, sell with, sell through, and then we can put like referrals and influencers in their own their little bucket. Right? That still holds true. That's not going to change. And all of those are happening perhaps differently with different partners that's within your ecosystem. And I think it actually puts a heavier emphasis on understanding your ROE around whatever your sales model is, to make your ecosystem effective. Because then my second rant is going to be about channel conflict,
Yeah.
because that's
No,
still
like
going to exist too, but I'll pause on that.
no. When you talk about ROE, and of course that's rules of engagement, it's vitally important to be able to everybody know their role and understand where they're supposed to play and what they're supposed to do and what they're not supposed to do. I think the other misconception is that this notion of orchestration, that only the vendors are the orchestrators of the ecosystem. And if you look at it from a different perspective, is that I've always believed the channel is wherever you are. So if you, wherever you stand, you are at the center of that universe. So whoever is the control point for the ecosystem, and it could be a vendor that's pulling together different partners to meet a customer's needs, or it could be a distributor that's pulling together vendors and partners to again create a system. Or it could be a partner, whether it's a reseller, an integrator, or a managed service provider that's pulling on the collective resources of its peers. And yet, it could also be the customer itself. And increasingly, that's what we're hearing is that the customers recognize that they have an ecosystem around them and that they're able to pull together and marshal resources from various sources to be able to solve for their needs. And they're not shy about doing it either. So again, ecosystems don't have a single center of gravity. That center of gravity will move to whoever is the initiator of that engagement. And I think that that's something that really is kind of new and dynamic.
I agree. And as we've all seen, customer buying behaviors have changed dramatically in the last handful of years, right? They're far more empowered than they used to be. And by empowered, right? Because of the availability of information that's out there, they're procuring in different manners and methods. And that's having an impact on different partner types, which is putting this funky dynamic mix and spin into how we see the ecosystem, for lack of a better word, right? How are people transacting, what your role and responsibility is within this, and where the power sits.
So, Bryn, we would be doing a misjustice if we did not at least provide some forward guidance on this. I mean, there's a number of things that we prescribe in our reports, the advancing the understanding of ecosystems in the channel. What one bit of advice would you give to anyone who's trying to understand and leverage ecosystems? What's that thing that you say? Where's your starting point?
Answer to this is always going to be data. Know your data, have a place for it, prescribe a use case for it. That way, you can say, oh, I know X, Y, and Z about this partner. I know how that, and you can manipulate your data wherever you need to make the decisions that are imperative for the growth and efficiency of your business. Without it, these visions of orchestration are going to be lost. The visions of happy, satisfied customers and partners is going to be lost because without the data to inform where everyone needs to go and to govern the way in which things need to operate, it's all out the window and you are in a world of chaos again.
The one thing, I mean, there's a number of things, and we spell them out in the report, but the one thing I would point out to people is that remove friction from whatever the process is. And this is true in conventional channels, or whether you're talking about ecosystems, is that you have to make this as optimally simple as possible, that the partners don't react well to complexity. And when we're designing channel programs, one of the things that I often find myself telling vendors is that you can make your program, you can make your systems, you can make everything as complicated as you want, so long as it reads simple or it moves simply for the partner. And if you don't do that, then the partners are going to move to where they can get a faster, better reaction. So, Bryn, as we started at the top of this conversation, it's always great to talk to you. I believe we'll be talking again in an hour. But it's really great to have you on Changing Channels.
It's always fun to have a chat. I'm glad to share our wonderful insights with the rest of the world.
Everyone, Bryn Nettesheim, she's the Vice President of Professional Services here at Channelnomics. Look, that's about all the time we have for this episode of Changing Channels. If you like what we're doing here, please hit like, hit subscribe, share with your friends. Also, check out all the great resources we have here at channelnomics.com. We do our research. We do our best part to help advance understanding and help advance the state of the art in the channel and go to market. Until next time, I'm Larry Walsh.